In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 21, 3:16-19:27. And Jesus says, "My daughter." This whole book is a diary of what Jesus said to Louisa, and she put every word down so that the kingdom could be known of what God is going to do, the how and the why the kingdom is going to come on earth. So he says, "My daughter, a sorrow of mine poured out in the secrecy of the heart of the one who loves me has the virtue of changing justice into mercy." Okay, so this, the Lord, you know, talks about this sorrow that he's in. He sees the condition of man. He sees the condition of the church. He sees, and he says, this sorrow of mine poured out in the secrecy of the heart of the one who loves me. And this is Louisa. He says, what you're going to do because you are with me, Jesus says, you have the virtue of changing my divine justice into divine mercy. So a lot of people, when you hear of divine justice, you become nervous because of what is coming. But what Louisa does, Jesus says to Louisa, when you are in love with me, in love with God, and therefore in the secrecy of your heart, you're going to change all that God has revealed to you. You're going to change divine justice into divine mercy. And again, this is something that is so extraordinary. What God has done with Louisa. When we really study this life of Louisa, what Jesus says is, you, Louisa, are going to bring divine justice to the world. He says, my mother is bringing divine mercy, but you are going to bring divine justice. So this divine justice is, everybody is going to get what they deserve. Everybody. We're going to get the life that we have desired all on earth. So if at the last moment a wicked person turns to God and desires God, God will, he says, bring divine mercy to that soul. But what he wants to do is he has to bring divine justice. That's why he's coming as king. He returns to the earth with divine justice. That's what's coming. So he says, my bitterness changes into sweetnesses. So when a soul, this is what we're going to see, this great miracle, this great mercy that God is going to give to the world. And he's asking us who are reading the Book of Heaven to get the world ready for the kingdom. So as we begin to live this Catholic life, this universal life, the life that Jesus lived, the new Adam, Mary lived, the new Eve, what happens is, he says very clearly, my bitterness changes into sweetnesses. So this justice of God that has to come is sweetened by the mercy of God. You're going to hear how much our God loves us. He says to Louisa that he was sorrowful when he was born, and because he was weeping as a baby, crying as a baby, moaning as a baby, because of the condition of humanity. And he said that those souls that hear his moans, hear his cries, come to him to console him. These are the ones that don't run away from Jesus, but want to spend time with Jesus. And here it is. He says this bitterness of seeing the world far from God is now changed into sweetnesses. He says, then after I trusted you, okay, so this is, he's giving secrets to Louisa. Then after he trusts, he had to test Louisa, and he tests all of us. He tests Louisa, arranging everything together with you. So this flow of love that God has given to Louisa, he wants to give to us as well, together with us. He doesn't want to surprise us. So this is this time that we're in, this sadness that we're in, what we see all along in the world is God is saying, I have to get you ready to work together with me to bring this abundant love, this fire of love upon the earth, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So he says, I called my priests, giving them the order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat. So this is going, you're going to see the role of the priest being magnified. This is what Jesus tells Louisa. He says, I have great plans for my church and for my priesthood. He says, I'm going to bring the priesthood to the way I wanted it from the beginning. So this is what's happening now. I called my priests. Okay, so the priests are all called by God, giving them the order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat. So this is why there's no misery. There's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. There's no fear of what's coming. God is going to take care of everything. When he says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, that's a full attack. But it's not going to prevail. It will be defeated. The church is going to reign. Jesus says, but the gates of hell will not prevail. It's going to attack the church, and it is attacking the church. He says, but I'm going to take care of it. And he says, the way I'm going to take care of it is through my priests. And this is why he says, I have called them. I have given them the order. This is essential to make known to the people how beautiful, the beautiful news about my supreme fiat. And as the priest reads this, this gift, he gives hope, to the people. It's not just that, yes, Christ has redeemed us. Now Jesus wants to sanctify us. He says, all the saints combined, all the martyrdoms combined, all the sufferings and trials and tribulations that the saints have gone through, the faith of the saint, the martyrdoms of the saints can't compare to one act in the divine will, because God is doing that. And see what God is showing the priests, and this is going to be just astonishing. This power of the priesthood is going to awaken in the church, and the miracles that are going to happen is because of what Jesus is going to do. And that's why he's saying, I have arranged everything together with you, Louisa, and I've called my priests. I have given them the order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat, the many knowledges about the supreme fiat. So like I've said before, every page that you read is filled with knowledges, truths, promises, manifestations of how much our God loves us. And as we read this, as we study this, we can give to the people this first bread. The priest is in charge of the Eucharist. The bishop is in charge of the Eucharist. And the priests give this second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to the people. And now Jesus says, I want the priests to give this first bread to all of humanity, because all of humanity is going to be Catholic. What's coming, look what he says, the secrecy of the heart, changing divine justice into divine mercy. What's coming upon the earth, what's going to come upon the earth when God intervenes, and he's going to intervene. This is, as they say, going to be biblical. It's going to be unbelievably beautiful. After I trusted you, tested you, and trusted you, Louisa, arranging everything together with you, Louisa. He says, then I've called my priests. See, it's this light, this love, this life of God was manifested to Louisa. And Louisa gave it to the priests who were there. And the priests were given the responsibility to copy these writings and distribute them to the world. And this is why when we pray for the volumes, when we prayed that the volumes be released, we always prayed to St. Honorable de Francia, because he was the one that was given these gifts. He was the one who was given the book of heaven. And Jesus says, this is what you're to name it. This is what you're going to give to the world. So he says, these many knowledges about the divine will, this beautiful news, this tremendous gift, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that the priests are going to give to the world. It's when you read the book of heaven, the sacred scriptures come alive. They come alive with this light, this life, and your breviary comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything spiritual comes alive. You begin to see from a divine perspective. Your intellect is you're seeing things from Christ's point of view. Your memory is not about me or my nation. It's about Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And then finally, our human will, our intellect, memory, and will are surrendered to God. And what happens at that point, it's this, as he says, these knowledges, these manifestations, this gift, he says, is given to the priests so that they will give it to the world. How I call everyone. Okay, so through the priests, he's calling everyone that they may come into my kingdom. Okay, this entering into the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. So what he wants to do is he wants us to live this life day by day as you enter into this life, day by day as you begin to live this life, a new beginning happens for all the world. That's what our God is asking. So he says, so I'm calling now everyone that they may come into the kingdom, that they get out of the prison, get out of the exile of their human will, take possession of the lost goods that Adam lost, all the goods that Adam lost, so as to live no longer unhappy and as slaves of the human will, but as happy and free in my most holy divine will, as Adam was. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. He had a perennial communion with God. And this is what our God wants to give back to humanity, this perennial communion. So Jesus tells Louisa, the reason we have the Holy Eucharist, the sacraments and the sacramentals, is to help people get ready for, you know, that we receive communion for 15 minutes. We're in communion with our God until the host dissolves. Jesus says, I want a perennial communion, and I'm getting you ready by receiving Holy Communion in a mystical way, a real but mystical way, until the host dissolves, so that you're longing for God, you're desiring God. So as John Paul II said, he says, if you don't understand communion, it's because you haven't spent time with our Eucharistic prisoner. We haven't spent time with our Lord. He's trapped, if you want to say, in the tabernacle. He's there in the tabernacle waiting for us to visit him. And our God is asking, he's saying, I want you to get out of the prison that you're in. By him being in the tabernacle, this prisoner of love, by him being in the tabernacle, he's freeing us from our human will. He's taking our place of prisoner. And the exile of their human will to take possession of the lost goods of Adam. Now, when you think of the lost goods of Adam, what did the DNA of Adam look like? Okay, he was in God's image and likeness. What does our DNA say? Get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, become food for worms. That's our DNA now. Jesus says, no, I want you to get out of this prison. I want you to get to enter into the possession of the lost, if you want to say, DNA of Adam, to be in God's image and likeness, And that's why he keeps on telling Louisa, what I want to do to every soul is make every soul my divine masterpiece that God will enjoy for all eternity. We haven't seen anything yet. Sanctification is this new, as John Paul II said, new and divine way of holiness. This is what we're coming to. And so what God has to do with any good builder, you level the land, you get everything ready, and then you build. And that's what he's doing now. Everything of the that was not of God has to go. And that's in our own lives and the lives of everyone. And what we're going to see is God is going to bring to perfection this divine masterpiece that he has planned for each and every one of us from the beginning of time. So these are the lost goods of Adam. Remember what Jesus said to Louisa, Adam, what did he say? He says, Adam knew all the sciences, but he knew the divine science, which is the divine will. We are going to learn this divine science of the divine will, and it's going to be natural for us because that's what God wanted for us from the beginning. And he's asking us, are you willing to let go of everything of the fallen nature to embrace the divine? That's why the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. As St. Peter says, we're called to be divinized, not to become gods, but to share in his divinity. That's what's coming to the earth. So he says, take possession of lost goods so as to live no longer unhappy. Now, happiness comes from holiness. And we are unhappy because of not being holy. That's why when you make a good confession, you leave the confessional and you are happy. You're entered into a holiness. At that point, when you make a good confession, you are full of grace, you know, until you sin again. So it's what Jesus is saying. I want you to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. I want you to have this life of the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is what he gave to Louisa. So he says, this prison that we're in, this unhappiness that we're in as slaves to the human will. Okay, let's just explain that. When you go to confession, it's bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. And everybody says, basically, we're confessing the same sins over and over and over again. What's happening? We have to remember that George Washington, when he was fighting, you know, leading the revolution, he failed in almost every battle, except for the last ones. And it's the same thing with us. We Jesus is saying, okay, you need a little bit more to conquer your misery, your human misery. You need a little bit more. And see, what the Lord is doing, he's helping us be free of this prison of the human will, slaves of the human will, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, to be happy and free in my divine will, to begin to live that life of the image and likeness of God, that happiness of the Jesus and Mary, the happiness of the new Adam and of the new Eve. Yes, they were sorrowful because they see their children in sorrow, in sadness, in sickness. And God is saying, I'm going to free you. God is going to do this. That's why when you listen to St. Louis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. And when you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa, Louisa, let me do this. I'm going to accomplish this. God is doing this. And our job is to let him be God, not saying, I mean, most of us say, I'm going to do it my way. And it always ends up the wrong way. But when we say to the Lord, I want to do it your way, that's where peace, joy, and happiness come in. That's where we are no longer unhappy as slaves to the human will, but we become happy and free in God's most holy divine will. So he's teaching us every day. He's teaching us more and more. And he says, the first ones, he says, my priests, given to them the order, the divine order of God, to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat. So the priests are the ones to really focus on reading and studying, to give this first bread to humanity. Jesus said to Louisa, and Louisa then says to us, he says to the priests, he says, Louisa says, you priests give a cold and stale bread that is hard to digest. This is the teachings. Louisa says, if you read the divine will, Jesus will give you knowledges that you've never thought of before. Read the third appeal. It's very, very clear. Jesus is going to give to the priests. He's going to think in their thinking and speak in their speaking. It's Jesus that's going to do this. This is what's so astonishing. And then Jesus says, and just as this secret has the virtue of allowing us to tell each other heart to heart how many wonderful manifestations about the eternal fiat, as this long secret of ours comes out. So everything, this is how God works. He works in a hidden manner. He works in a secret manner. What does that mean? Well, the greatest secret is the Eucharist. And when you go into a church, when you see that candle lit near the tabernacle, it says Jesus is present. The churches are empty. That's the secret. Our Lady, she says three things at Fatima: wear the scapular, pray the rosary, and attend First Saturday Masses. How many people are at First Saturday Masses compared to the town that they're in or the city that they're in? Very few. It's a secret. What God loves, he keeps hidden, because he knows that if a human says no, it could be forever. It could be forever. So he says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. He's saying, if you want me, I will reveal myself to you. If you are looking for me, I will show you who I am. That's what Jesus says. So he looks at us, and a lot of people, they don't turn to God unless there's a tragedy. And once there's a tragedy, they blame God. Most people blame God at first. You know, you're the one, you know, I was doing fine until this happened. When we turn to Jesus in a time that's not a time of trial, you know, difficulty, there's the blessings that are unbelievable. And even when he calls us in tragedy, what he does at that point, he overwhelms us with his love. I have a priest friend who would say, he would say all the time, you know, to the Lord, I'm going to stay in the chapel and I'm going to talk to you until you answer me. And the Lord always would answer him in sacred scripture, in a book of the saints. He would answer him and he would go, thank you. I mean, that's our God. He is the Word, and he's always speaking. We have to attune our ears to his voice. His voice is silent. And we have to enter into this, as he says, this secret. We have to enter into this beauty of God that is for everyone. But Jesus says, in reality, it's for only those that want it. And this is what happens. And just as the secret had the virtue of allowing us to tell each other. So here, this is the life of Louisa. Jesus and Louisa had a great conversations. And he says, from heart to heart, the many wonderful manifestations about the eternal fiat. Because he would show Louisa, and Louisa would be overwhelmed about how great our God is. And this long secret of ours comes out. And it shall have such impact on the people. This is what the priests are going to give to the people. Such impact on the people that amazed They themselves shall pray with sighs, with moans, that my kingdom may come out to put an end to all their evils. The world is going to change drastically. And what it looks like at this point, and most points, it's we're losing. We're not losing. We're not losing at all. God is winning. And it's not that things are falling apart. He's getting everything ready. And it's not our job to tell God what to do. Our job is to pray so that we can be in cooperation of what he has planned. And that's what it says. As long as the secret of ours comes out, this book of heaven, once this comes out, he says, it shall have such impact on the people that amazed the people themselves shall pray with sighs that my kingdom may come to put an end to all their evils. That's the day that's coming. Now just think about it. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus said, I saw the devil fall like lightning to the earth. When that day comes, he's been banished from heaven. He'll be banished from earth. That's what's coming. When that great day, and Jesus says, get ready for this great event that he's going to bring about. And he's saying, I want everybody to get ready. That's the reason why he has given us the book of heaven. The book of heaven is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It's filled with these secrets that God is whispering to us. You know, I mean, like a good father with his child, telling the child, here, I've got something planned for you, and it's for you. And this is what God is doing. So he says, listen to what he says. As long as this secret of ours comes out, it shall have such impact on the people that amazed they themselves shall pray with sighs that my kingdom may come to put an end to all their evils. The end of all misery, the end of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's what's coming. That's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's the fulfillment of the Our Father. And our Lord is saying to us, I've called you, I've chosen you, I predestined you to live at this time so that you can give this to the world. And then he says this to the priest. He says very, very clearly, I called my priest, I have given them the order, the divine order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat, the many knowledges about the supreme fiat, how I, God, call everyone that they may come into the kingdom to get out of the prison and the exile of the human will and take possession of what Adam lost. See, we're going to go back. I mean, it's not only getting back what Adam lost. It's what the new Adam and the new Eve have given to the world. It's a double whammy. It's everything that Adam lost. And now Jesus and Mary, what they have now given to the world. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which they breathed into Louisa. That's what's coming. So Jesus has great, great plans. He says, as the priest, basically their command, it's all together here. As the priests give this amazing news to the people with sighs, the people are going to cry out that the kingdom may come to end all human misery. That's heaven on earth. That's where we're supposed to be. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947 that time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era of the evil one. The kingdom is coming. The new heavens and the new earth are coming. The new Jerusalem is coming. And so our God is saying, why have I called you to be alive today? So that you will be able to give this to the people to get the people ready for what I, God, am going to bring about. Volume 23, 10-2, 1927. It happens with the soul as with the accidents of the host, that though being matter lends itself to let itself be animated by my sacramental life. Okay, so here Jesus is showing us. This is a great mystery. And it's an amazing joy, amazing happiness learning about this. He said to St. Faustina, you must become a living host. And that, I mean, those are those, if you read the diary of St. Faustina, that's there. But he tells Luisa how to become a living host. See how Jesus prepares? He prepared the world by saying, you got to become a living host to Faustina, St. Faustina. And now Jesus is saying, listen to what he says. It happens with the soul, okay, the human, as with the accidents of the host, okay? God is saying, what's going to come about is this life of being a living host. A lot of people think that when the Eucharistic reign of Jesus comes, we're all going to be kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, we will be. But even more than that, we are going to become living hosts. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is going to be one with him. He says this, it happens with the soul as with the accidents of the host, that though being matter, lends itself to let itself be animated by my sacramental life. As long as those same words spoken by Jesus, by me, in instituting the most holy sacrament are pronounced by the priest. Okay, so here he's saying what the priest, when he says, this is my body, that which looks like bread and tastes like bread becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. As long as those same words are spoken by me in instituting the holy sacrament, pronounced by the priest, those words were animated by my fiat that contained the creative power. So the words spoken by the priest, Jesus says, are animated by the fiat, by my fiat, that contained the creative power. Where does that power of transubstantiation occur? It's in the fiat. As the priest breathes these words on the bread that becomes the body, blood, and soul of divinity, he says, this is what happens. Those words are animated, become alive, if you want to say, by my fiat that contain the creative power. And this is why the matter of the host undergoes transubstantiation of the divine life. Okay. So Jesus is saying the word, I mean, everything that Jesus speaks to Luisa, these words that he speaks to Luisa, he says are living. They're alive. These words that Jesus speaks, he says, brings light and life and love to all the world. And God isn't done. He says creation isn't finished. Redemption isn't finished. Sanctification has to happen. There's so much more that's coming because of sanctification. Jesus says, when people begin to live in the divine will, that's sanctification, watch the power of the Eucharist that's going to happen with those souls. Watch what I, God, am going to do. We haven't seen anything yet. This abundant life of Jesus and Mary, this abundant life of the new Adam and the new Eve that was given to Luisa, he's waiting to give this to the world. He's anxious to give this to the world. It goes way beyond what God gave to Adam and Eve. Way beyond what God breathed into Adam, the image and likeness of God, we're going to receive. But even more than that, it's what Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, have done. So here's what he says. One can pronounce many words as one wants over the host. But if they're not the few words pronounced by the priest, established by the fiat, my life remains in heaven and the host remains the wretched manner that it is, just bread. So Jesus is saying the same thing. Listen to what he says. The same thing happens with the soul. Do you see what he's hinting at? He gets more into this as time goes on. He begins to explain how the soul becomes a living host, how the soul participates one with God. This is, I mean, let's just look. If Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, were to have their image and likeness, if you want to say, in the host, it's blood of her blood, bone of her bone, flesh of her flesh that we also receive with Jesus. It's and what Jesus is saying is he's asking now that what's going to happen with the soul in the divine will. He says, basically, he goes, let me explain this to you. And he keeps on, he explains it little by little. We're just taking a little bit right here. But little by little, he explains how and why God wants each soul to become a living host. Now, that's not what Adam had. Adam had didn't have that. That's what Jesus and Mary are bringing to us. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is we are going to be one with him. We're going to be fused with him and Our Lady. This is the life that they gave to Louisa. So what our God is trying to get, he's trying to get us ready so that when we start reading, he's going to like little light switches. He's going to click something on and he's going to go, do you see what I'm saying? And little by little by little, this fullness fullness of life and light and love is given to humanity. So when people hear St. Faustina say to Jesus says, you must become a living host, they go, how? And those who have read, how do I do this? How can I become a living host that Jesus tells St. Faustina? That's what basically now Jesus is going to teach us even more than what he gave to St. Faustina. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, those that saw the Sacred Heart of Jesus see the heart is on fire with love. Then he says, hinting at the divine mercy, he says, the rays of light that come from his heart, he says, people understand more of who I am. He says, but when the divine will reigns, he says, humanity will see the 360 degrees of rays emanating from his heart. We haven't seen anything yet. What God is getting us ready, and this is why it's so great to be Catholic. God is getting us ready with this fullness of faith. And let me tell you, what he's going to teach us is going to knock our socks off. That's for certain. He's got great plans. And all he asks is, would you come and listen to me? Would you come and listen to what I want to tell you? And then that's what's so great. He says, I called my priests. I gave them the order to make known basically the divine will. And he says, in this next part, he says, what the priest has done with a sacramental host, I'm going to do with souls. We haven't seen anything yet, anything. So, I mean, listen to what Jesus, he just loves us so much. He says, one can pronounce as many words as one wants over the host. But see, it has to be the words that Jesus speaks. Where do we hear these words? That's why when I read the Book of Heaven, I hear the Sacred Scripture, Jesus saying, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and he will remind you of everything that I have said. When you read the Book of Heaven and then read it again and then read it again, every time you read it, it's brand new. Why? The word that Jesus speaks is limitless. It's forever. And what he wants is, as we hear it the first time, it's the first wave. The second wave is even more spectacular. The third wave, it's even more grand. Our God is saying, I will give you as much as you want. 100%, 30%, 60%, 100%. Whatever you want, I will fill you with it. My prayer is I want to know everything that Jesus taught Louisa. Everything. I don't want to lose anything. I want to know every detail. I want to hear every detail. That's why reading it a third time, fourth time, fifth time, every time you read, it's more beautiful than what you've read before. And it's every time you read, it's beautiful. But what does Jesus say? It happens with the soul. What happens to the host when the priest says the words? As Jesus speaks these words, everything changes for us. Everything changes. And that's what he's trying to get us ready. He's trying us to get us to sit down and go, okay, let it happen. Let it be done as you wish. What is our, What did Our Lady say? One of the few words in sacred scripture. She said at Cana, do whatever he tells you. Jesus says to Louisa, listen, be attentive. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I've got great hope that you will allow me to make you my divine masterpiece. As you're reading this, as you're studying this, as you're putting this into practice, nothing is the same anymore. And he needs us to cooperate. That's the wonderful thing that God has done for the priesthood is we can be in front of the Eucharist whenever we want, anytime we want. And we can schedule our day around being with Jesus in the Eucharist to again, fall in love with God so that as we fall in love with God, we can give that to the people. As we read the Book of Heaven, we can give that. That's our job. I called the priest, given them the order to make known to the people the beautiful news about my supreme fiat, the many knowledges about my divine will. Everything that we read is more beautiful than we read yesterday. What we're going to read tomorrow is more beautiful than today. This Book of Heaven, there's really no comparison to what God has done. I mean, this is the delight. This is the joy of the priesthood, reading, listening to Jesus. It's like sitting on the couch with Jesus every day and Jesus talking to you. Look at this is what I got planned. And this is what I'm thinking. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Now I want you to do this. I want you. It's that intimate that you actually begin to go, yeah, okay, I agree with you there. Okay, this is what I have to do. Okay, thank you. It's you're in this conversation with God as you're reading. And it's not like any other book. Jesus says there are many, many books out there, but this is the only book that will transform a soul. Why? It's the words. It's the words of Jesus. It's not like any other diary that you could read. You actually begin to hear him, not maybe not with your ears, but with your heart, your mind, your soul. He has what the same words that he says to me, he says to you, but you hear something different because of who you are. Whatever you've gone through in your life, the uniqueness, he says that to Louisa. He loves the uniqueness. That's why he gives us different irises, different fingerprints, different voices, sizes, shapes, colors. He says, I love your uniqueness. So there's no need for spiritual jealousy. That's the worst thing in the world. Look at Saul did to David, wanted to kill him. Saul, killed the thousands, David, the 10,000. That's to kill him. No need for jealousy. Whatever God has given to each soul, no one else has. And that's what God is calling us to. That's why he says, this secret, allowing to tell each other heart to heart the many wonderful manifestations about the eternal fiat. As you're talking to Jesus, as you're breathing the same air as Jesus when you're with him, as you read, and you're really with him, he's telling you things that will astonish you. Everything in your life, everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, was necessary, Jesus teaches us, to accomplish what he has planned. And a lot of the hard things that we had to go through, the difficult things we had to go through, it's like we're a wild animals, and it's like a wild horse. You've got to tame that horse. And the taming is what God does by breaking us. And that's how you break a horse. You break a horse to tame it. God's got great plans. So we'll end there. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that all the little children hold their divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.